Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 12 of Could It Be Podcast. On the episode this week, I am joined by my younger sister, Jenna. We talk about Jenna watching me go through my experience of having implants put in, through to me chatting with her initially about my breast implant illness symptoms. And Jenna also has a chat with us about considering implants herself and having that change after watching what I have been through. We're also momentarily joined by my niece, Charlotte, just popping in to say hello. It was a really fun episode to record, and I really hope that you enjoy it. Here it is. Okay, we have another special guest on the episode today. I've got my younger sister, Jenna. Welcome.
Super special. Thank you very much. Sorry. Nice to be here.
So I've got a few questions set up for young Jenna over here. She's younger than me, so I can say that, even though we're old now.
I'll totally take that.
So first, Jenna, what can you remember about when I had my implants put in all that time ago?
It was so long ago. So I was in year 12, so I was kind of doing a lot of thinking about myself rather than other people, which is typical, you know, 17, 18-year-olds. But no, look, I remember it being, you know, not too long after your first surgery that you had, and, you know, that was a huge deal to go through what you went through at, you know, that young age. And then, you know, from that, the discussions were happening at home about, you know, going through and having breast implant surgery. And I was all for it. It was something that was important to you. And I think at that age as well, you know, it's your, the way you look is so important, you know, through the schooling years and beyond as well. And I remember back in primary school where there were some bullies who said some really nasty things about you and your flat chest. Mm-hmm. And so I know that over the years it was something that was really, really important to you. And I just remember it being, I guess it was quite a process because obviously you had the tissue expanders back and forth into the hospital to have that done. So I kind of, because I didn't know it too deeply, all the information, it was like, okay, is it going to happen? Okay, when's the surgery? But you had to go back and forth for that first. So, yeah, that's my main memories of that time.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go off script here.
Oh, no.
Do you remember, like, much of a change in, like, me? I guess looks-wise would have been something that you would have noticed, but mm-hmm. like even confidence-wise when I had them done?
Absolutely. I think that would definitely be the case for anyone who's been through something like that. I have vivid memories of you, like, after the surgery, and there was definitely more confidence. Maybe you put a little bit more effort into what you were wearing.
Instead of trying to hide.
Yeah, like, you know, previous to that, you've always been a sporty person, so you've always, like, lived in activewear. That's just you from the get-go. But I did notice that you definitely dressed up a little bit more, just, you know, here, like, I've got boobs.
And I think that sort of came at a time not long after the like, as you said, the ovarian cyst was taken out, and I looked pregnant. Yeah. And I knew I wasn't. Yeah, like, I went through this double whammy of confidence boosting where I had this, you know, people were asking me if I was pregnant and I wasn't, and there was nothing I could do to get rid of this weird belly bump. And then, you know, within a few months I was starting to grow some boobs through the tissue expanders and having them done. So I guess, yeah, like, I was nearly 20 when I had the actual implants put in. So it was not, I think it was around your 18th birthday.
And that I just feel like that age is such a vulnerable age to the opinions of others.
Yeah.
So, you know, to have those positive changes in your body with, you know, everything that you had been through with a major surgery and everything, it was a huge deal. So, yeah.
Mm. Thanks. So next question, on script again.
Thank you.
What were your first thoughts when I told you about breast implant illness and the symptoms that I'd been experiencing for years?
Yeah, well, look, I didn't have a huge awareness of what you had been going through. You've had so many health issues along the way, so it was just like another thing, you know, whenever we spoke about it, but we didn't really speak about it in depth probably until just a few months before going in to see the specialist to find out, you know, if you could get the surgery. And I think, you know, it was the day that you had come over, we were out with the kids in the car, and we just started going through all of the things you were experiencing. And I was shocked. I had no idea that that's what you had been going through for as long as what you had been going through. And I almost felt a little bit guilty that you had been experiencing all of this and I had no idea, and you were, you know, I can understand it can make someone so down and out, even just with half the stuff that you were experiencing, let alone all of it. So yeah, I felt bad for you. I felt, you know, you've been through enough health-wise to not have to worry about any of this stuff again. So it was a big eye-opener to know that a decision that was made so many years ago for something to improve your life, improve your, you know, your self-confidence and everything, was now had completely turned and was affecting you in such a negative way. And that was, yeah, that was really sad to hear. I felt really bad for you. And then to hear that you're going and sharing your experience on a podcast, I thought was absolutely awesome. I feel like podcasts are the way to go these days. I feel like although, you know, you're just recording your voice and you're sharing it to others, it's still a more intimate way to share that kind of information.
Yeah.
And I thought it was absolutely fantastic because, you know, so many things, health issues that we go through, we don't necessarily speak of to many people. You know, our nearest and dearest might know what we're going through, but to share that information with others, to help others, or just make, you know, more awareness about what you had experienced, I thought was awesome. I think it was so, so good to be able to share that, and to people all over the world. It's not just, you know, your immediate friendship group or your immediate family. So
yeah. And when I started releasing it, I've only told a handful of people about it, and I've only told a handful of people about the surgery. Like, I feel bad because I'd told you, but I hadn't told any of our other siblings about it. And then mum had messaged them saying, oh, Bianca's out of surgery, and they were like, what? But yeah, I guess it was like, and I don't want you to feel guilty, because I probably masked a lot of what I was going through. And I think, like I've possibly mentioned it in previous episodes, but I just thought it was just a normal, like, it was normal for me. It was normal for me to have joint pain, and normal for me to have my hair falling out, because I'd gone through tests with my doctor and nothing came back. So I was like, right, well, I'm doomed to not have much hair then.
Yeah, but I know that, you know, in one of your previous episodes when you talked about your symptoms, you know, there's a few of them where you can say, okay, yes, I'm getting that little bit older, or you know, I'm very physically active with when you were going to CrossFit, and so you associated certain symptoms to just lifestyle and the aging process, which was normal to do. But it was when you had seen something online and there was a list of all of the symptoms that someone else had experienced, and you thought, well, wow, this could be me too.
And
I think because you do have such a bubbly, happy personality, to, you know, at face value, you wouldn't be able to know what you've actually been experiencing, what you've been going through. And because there's been health issues along the way unrelated to the breast implant illness, you've kind of just, you take it on the chin because you have been through so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever I see you, you are, you're happy, you're bubbly, and it's not, it wouldn't be well known to others. So sitting down and actually hearing everything that you had been experiencing, I was it's not nice.
I guess that comes back to also, like, you'd know this, you're my sister, you've known me for, you know,
a couple of years.
But like, I'm stubborn, but
no,
but definitely in letting things impact me. So, you know, in the past where I've had hip issues, I couldn't run, but that didn't stop me from moving. I found ways to move.
Found alternatives.
Yeah. So I guess, like, even though I had all of these issues happening, I didn't let them stop me. And that is probably why people didn't know that I was experiencing it.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
So. You definitely masked it well. I had no idea how much it had affected your life and I guess your overall happiness until that day when you actually explained it, you know, the whole list of what you were experiencing. And that's when I realized what you had been going through. And it can impact every aspect of your life with what you were going through, you know. So huge, huge deal.
Definitely. Next question. So you've mentioned this whole experience when we've been chatting before has changed your mind about possibly getting implants yourself. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So I've had two children, and I feel like any of you mums out there who have gone through pregnancy and breastfeeding, you will realize that, you know, your body is no longer what it was pre-pregnancy, which, you know, it is, you've created a beautiful life and you've been able to feed your baby forever, for however long, but nothing is the same. And I had it in my head that that's okay, you know, things have changed, but, you know, down the track when I'm finished having babies, which is definitely now.
Are you sure?
110%.
Tom keeps asking.
Absolutely not. No way. The shop is shut.
The shop is closed.
Absolutely. It's actually out of business. Like,
bought it up.
And yeah, I just assumed that, okay, down the track, we could look at it and I could get implants and a lift or whatever. I don't know. I hadn't delved into it, I hadn't done any research, but definitely had that in the back of my mind that if I wanted to, I don't want to say fix, because, you know,
There's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with me, and I was very thankful for what my body was able to do. But, you know, if I could make changes to my body to give me some more self-confidence, you know, after having my two children, then I could just go and do it.
Mm.
Never ever was I aware of implant illness until you made me aware of it.
Yeah, and I guess when you were considering implants, I wasn't even realizing that it was breast implant illness. So you were like, oh, Bianca's got them. Like,
yeah.
Surely I'll be fine with them.
Absolutely. And, you know, so many people in the world have breast implants and you don't hear of all those stories. It's not common knowledge. Only up until recently, I've seen you know, a little bit more on social media about it. But, yeah, finding out what you had gone through and the potential of that happening doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen to me if I was to go and get breast implants. But I don't want to risk it. I don't want to put my body through all of that for the potential of everything else that you had gone through. I don't want that. Nobody wants to ever say, okay, yeah, I'll put my hand up. I'll have the joint pain. All this hair loss. I'll have all these things go on. Nobody wants that for themselves. So
you've already gone through postpartum hair loss twice. Like, you don't want to have to be going through, and that stops after a certain amount of time. Yeah.
Absolutely. And when, you know, we have spoken on and off about the hair loss that you have gone through, there was a stage where, so after I had my second baby, Noah, the hair loss that I experienced was quite sudden after giving birth with Charlotte. 12 months later is when I experienced it. So I thought I was out of it, you know, oh no, I didn't have to experience it, but no, it came. But with Noah, yeah, definitely experienced the hair loss a lot more sudden and probably a lot more hair loss at that time than what I had experienced first time around. And we were kind of messaging one another saying what we were both kind of going through at that time. But, you know, mine went for, I can't even remember, maybe a few weeks, a couple of months at the absolute most.
Mine was,
and yours continued.
4 or 5 years.
Exactly. And, you know, your hair is part of your identity. And I feel like that is to go through hair loss, and in the beginning you didn't necessarily know why you were experiencing that hair loss. You'd put it down to the anesthetics.
Previous surgeries, yeah, because it was around the like right amount of time for me to start hair loss after that last surgery I had where they took the cyst away from my like insides when everything is stuck together. So yeah, that's when it sort of started after that, and that's normal. Like post-surgery hair loss is normal. But it just never stopped.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's when I had had the tests. Like, my doctor had gone through to test my thyroid because apparently that can impact it. And I, yeah, everything came back in normal levels.
Mm.
So, yeah, just kept going.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you are to go through a short time of hair loss, it's kind of like, okay, it's happened.
It's normal.
Cop it on the chin, absolutely. But like I said, mine had stopped. And then we were still messaging to and fro about, you know, that you were still experiencing it. You had massive clumps once you got out of the shower and brushed your hair. And yeah, because I feel like for me personally, my hair is a part of my identity. And, you know, I take pride in how I look, and it is so important to me to be able, you know, to be going through that for such a long amount of time. And you do worry, like, okay, if this much hair is falling out every day,
How am I going to have any left?
Yeah. And you and I have, you know, we got it from our mum's side of the family. We've got very, very thin hair. We've got a lot of it, but it's very fine hair. And, you know, you can see it just even when you chuck a hair in a ponytail. Like, it's not that big, beautiful, volumized, amazing ponytail.
It's a sad, floppy little affair.
Exactly. And then to be losing it as often as you did, I can only imagine how that would have been affecting you. And yeah, it was that'd be a huge thing to have to go through.
Yeah. So you've decided now, like, implants are a
no
for you.
I'll just get some push-up bras if I have to. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
There's a lot of good stuff out there.
Exactly.
I mean, like, I have shared this on the podcast before, but they're in Brisbane, there's a trial happening where they're trialing a new type of implant, and it's like it's called scaffolding. They call it scaffolding, which is like building you're doing renovation.
Yeah.
but it's an implant that's made out of the same stuff as dissolvable stitches. Okay. So, I mean, like down the track, there may be things if it's still something that you want to do. But also, like, we need to normalize that boobs are all different. Like, mine are two different sizes now. Mm-hmm. One of them disappears when I lay down.
Yeah.
And that never happened when I had implants, obviously. I never had normal boobs before that to know that, you know, they're never going to be, well, not never, but like, you know, mine don't, it's not a problem that they're not identical. They're not identical twins. They're like.
No, that's right. They've got their own personality.
Yeah, exactly. We should name them. But yeah, we need to normalize, like, you know, boobs can look different and they don't have to be porn star looking boobs.
No, that's right.
Or, you know, what model looking boobs or anything. You know, if they were to be uncomfortable, like if they, I don't know, if you tuck them into your belt or whatever and they're,
that might be it.
Yeah.
If they go flowing in the wind on a windy day.
If you're running and they're smacking you in the face.
Wow.
Like, yeah. You know, you can probably look into a lift, but.
But you could also get a very supportive bra, which is far cheaper and it doesn't affect, you know, you don't have to go in under the knife and have that surgery done to you. So.
One thing I was going to add there, like, you know, you're saying like you wouldn't put your hand up to have those symptoms and obviously not for yourself, but also as a parent, you've got to think of your kids as well. Like, I wouldn't have had the energy to stay, like, to keep up with children.
Mm.
Like, there's to do it every day. Like, I can come here and be a bad influence on the kids and play with them all day and then go home and sleep a lot. But if I was a parent, like, I wouldn't have been able to manage the pain I was going through. I would have been such a moody mum.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, like, glad I've obviously made that decision and been through the things that I've been through that stopped that from happening. Because, yeah, I would have been the worst mum ever.
To go through all of that, absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know, as a parent, you don't get to switch off. You don't, like, you know, a day like today, my husband's at work. If I was to be feeling under the weather, I've still got to continue with a day. I can't just lay down on the couch and be like, oh, I'll deal with you guys later. Mm. Is it? Bowl of water and, you know, throw some snacks at them. It would be nice, but you can't do that. So yeah, it would be incredibly difficult to experience those symptoms and still have to parent throughout the day.
Yeah.
And not because you do, you're the importance of yourself, it goes so far down the line as soon as you become a parent.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your kids are everything and you want, you know, you make sure that they're fed and, you know, they've had enough water during the day and they're bathed and they've, you know, they've had enough social interaction, they've played with enough toys and you've taught them enough things, but then you come to the end of the day and you think, oh God, I haven't even had a drink of water today.
Yeah.
You know, because you're so worried about these little beings. So yeah, to have to be feeling and experiencing what you did with those symptoms, I don't know how I would parent either.
No.
And it would burn you out. It would tear you down to have to keep going because you have no choice. So.
Yeah, and the guilt you'd feel, I guess. Like, you know, I hear about mum guilt a lot for anybody, but, mm-hmm. you know, to then have a chronic condition that you don't know is what is wrong with you and not being able to keep up with them. And I guess one thing that I noticed that you do a lot is your kids get a lot of cool experiences. Like every weekend you're out and about with them doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have been able to do that. I would have been like, oh, you know what, watch movies.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, there's those moments as well.
Oh, for sure.
You know, Charlotte's watching Fireman Sam as we speak.
You might even hear Fireman Sam in the background.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so I'm glad that I could have gone through that to help you make that decision.
But you do, like, you have that responsibility.
Yeah.
And you know, no matter what you go through, no matter what's going on, you have the response. And there's Charlotte, everybody. Yeah, so just having the responsibility of knowing that you need to look after these children no matter what. So, you know, if something is to happen to me, you know, how will the kids be without their mum, you know? So, yeah, there's that in the back of my mind. So I can, hands down say I will never go through a procedure like that because of what you have experienced. And it's just opened my eyes to all of that. And it's just, it's not for me.
Yeah.
Not for me at all.
Cool. Final question.
Ooh.
What changes have you noticed, if any, in me since the surgery?
Oh, so many. So many. So the first one is definitely the brightness of the whites of your eyes. You put up a photo of the before and after. You had sent it to me while you were still in hospital. And then you had also obviously put it on Instagram. And that was less than 24 hours after the surgery, is that right?
Yeah.
And I could not believe it. Beforehand, like, you've always had these big gorgeous blue eyes of these eyelashes that are like 3 meters long, and everybody comments about how beautiful your eyes are, and you've got beautiful eyes. I didn't realize that the whites of your eyes had gone, is discolored the right word?
Yeah.
I don't know, but weren't as bright until I saw that before and afterwards, and it was a huge shock to see that. The hair growth. Your new nickname is Rapunzel, and there is a reason for it. I love seeing the updates of, you know, this was me 2 weeks ago, and I had taken the first photo when I came to see you, you know, within a couple of days you'd been home.
The one on the Instagram, you're famous.
I'm famous. yeah, and like, how is that normal? Like, that hair growth, how is that normal? Mm. It's absolutely amazing. So the hair growth was definitely one. And for me, the biggest thing is just your happiness,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you're not experiencing the joint pain. You're not experiencing the fatigue. You're not, you know, going and seeing in the sink all this hair loss. There's been so many changes in you that has just set off a happier Bianca. And like I said, you've always been a bubbly, happy person. That's your personality, but you can see your wellness within yourself. Like, you just appear to be better, and that's the best way that I can explain it.
Yeah.
You can see that there's been some really positive things come out from this surgery, and it radiates off of you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Going back, like where you said about the change in my eyes and people complimented my eyes. Do you know what? Like, I have not in years had compliments on my actual eyes in a very long time. My eyelashes definitely,
mm-hmm.
but that had stopped.
Oh,
and then the other week we had filled the car up with petrol, and I went in to pay, and the young girl was like, "You've got such pretty eyes." And that was the first time in years that I've had somebody compliment my eyes.
Wow.
It used to be, and I'm not being cocky here. Like,
I'm so cocky.
But like, yeah, this is just something that even as a little kid, like, mum used to be like, "Oh, Bianca, shut up. You're embarrassing." Cause people would be like, "Oh, you've got lovely eyelashes." I'm like, "And I've got big eyes." Cause I was just so used to people mentioning it. Like, I've just got lucky.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
That. But yeah, it I remember it happening on nights out, and
you would always be complimented.
Yeah.
And I'd just be like the little one over here with, you know, the little pokey eyelashes and the small pokey eyes in comparison to you, because you've always been these headlights. Do you know what I mean? Like, these, I'm being sarcastic. But no, you've always been complimented for your eyes and your eyelashes.
That stopped for a very long time. And
wow.
Yeah, it's just started again. So yeah, like that's obviously something that, you know, people didn't notice it, but it took away from,
yeah,
the vibrancy.
Yeah,
of my eyes.
And I guess you mentioned in one of your other podcasts as well, like a bit of darkening. And you think, like, perhaps going through, you know, your body was clearly trying to get rid of something that's not natural and, you know, was causing issues, toxic issues. I don't know how to explain it better.
Don't worry, neither do I.
But you had mentioned in one of your previous podcasts that, yeah, you thought that your face seemed to have aged.
Mm.
Well, that's gone now. Like, I'm not trying to be a suckhole in any kind of way, but you look very vibrant now. You look very fresh.
Thanks.
And yeah, you can see all the positive things that have come out from having this surgery. So definitely the right choice. Like, you know, you would have ummed and ahed for some time. Is it the right thing to do? Do I want to put my body through another surgery when I've already been through 275 previous to this?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely the right decision to make, for sure.
Cool. Well, that was all of the questions that I had. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about on the episode today?
No, I think I covered it all.
Cool.
I think. I'm pretty happy.
No worries.
Yeah.
Well, we better let you get back to
mumming.
Mumming, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be auntieing. I'm going to make sure I leave with some kind of bad influence today.
You do normally, yeah. Well, I might palm it over to you, and you can kind of auntie, and I might just lay here on the couch
and
chill out.
Sounds good. Cool. Thank you so much, Jenna, for joining me.
You're most welcome. When do you ever call me Jenna? It sounds very formal.
What do I call you instead?
I don't know.
Sis?
Oh, hey, sis. Oh, hey. Oh, hey.
Hello, hello. Cool. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
I'll see you in a minute when we go.
When you press stop.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldit_be_i_i_podcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for listening.
Please. I'll give you some of Pa's favourite chocolate if you go watch a little bit more Fireman Sam.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Bribery will get you everywhere.